You're the workman of his hand. He is so proud of you. You're his one piece of artwork that cannot be duplicated. And when you try to become someone else, you've insulted the craftsman that made you. You've devalued the painting. I don't want to be you. You should not want to be me. But that takes a lot of confidence. It takes a lot of knowing God loves you as wonky as you are. But also, it also positions you for a friendship with God, because God is attracted to authenticity. He loves authenticity. Why? Because he's authentic. Let me end with this. There's two kinds of weirdness. Here's the bottom line. People say, I don't want to be weird. It's too late. Too late for you. I don't know anybody that's not weird on some level or another. It's just that there's not been enough rain to reveal the seed in the ground that you are to see what kind of weird you are. When you put a seed in the ground, you don't know what, if it's a pumpkin seed, an apple seed, there's no banana seed. See, that's my prophetic right there. So you put a seed in the ground, you can't say, oh, I think that's going to be, I think God, that seed is great. No, you don't know what that seed is until the rain comes. Rain reveals what's hidden, because it causes to grow and become what it was in darkness in the soil. Same true with people and Christians. You don't know what's in someone till the Holy Spirit falls on them. Nobody knew or would believe what I was and grew up in backwoods Arkansas, impoverished with no education and no high school diploma and no training, no that. Nobody knew that, but it rained on me. And as it began to rain, something began to grow different than what they thought was in that soil. Because God is an interesting farmer. They tried to call me a pumpkin seed, and I wasn't a pumpkin seed. I was Johnny Appleseed. That's the core truth. Hush. So, we're weird. But here's the problem with the church. People that criticize people that are weird themselves under control. Most people are just weird. They have their weirdness controlled. I meant their idiosyncrasies. I don't mean weird as in a nasty word, but their idiosyncrasies. So here's the difference between religious weirdness and authentic weirdness. Two different things. You learn religious weirdness in church and in your Christian life. And religious weirdness is when you act weird when you get around the people of God, or when you minister, or when you say things about the kingdom of God. That's religious weirdness. Authentic weirdness is when you act the same. By the way, when you're religiously weird and Monday comes, you don't act that way. And you notice when you leave that and you're in the workplace, you don't do what you did in church. In church, you're looking at people going, and then Monday, you're kind of like, hey, oh, you can control it now. That's religious weirdness. Authentic weirdness is this. You don't know you're weird. You were born weird. Your mama dropped you on your head. You're just different. And the way that you know that you're authentically weird is you act the same in church as you do in Walmart. You act the same at the shoe store as you do at home and as you do it, because who you are is who you are. And if people think it's weird, at least it's authentic. I loathe religious weirdness and spooky weirdness and that deep thing that's so deep that we think is so spiritual that God has to get an interpreter for us to understand us. That's not what God's after. He's after simplicity, practicality, the love of God, and authenticity that flows from a heart that wants to be real and open and accessible and to love people. I can't believe I'm going to live and die. I'm getting older now in my years, and the only thing I have really to offer, not the only thing, most thing, is like, knock it off and be yourself. And it's like, gosh, could you give me a better headliner? But knock it off, love people. I mean, has it come to that? We become so heady that we miss the simplicity of the gospel. Am I going to live my whole life to come to an end and go, my whole wisdom in life is love God, love people, be nice, be a friend of God, love God first, don't chase your gift, chase your ministry, find family and quit trying to be the big deal. and give to each other and be yourself and be authentic? Is that it? And I asked God that. He goes, that's it, because not many people know that. I go, you got to be kidding. We live in a religious culture. He goes, yeah, but there's a darkness that covers the religious mind. It's a religious spirit. For darkness covers the whole earth, the scripture says, until that day star rises in our heart, until that light shines into darkness, and it can't comprehend it anymore. And we go, I am a son of the living God. I am unique. He loves me, and as my friend Bob Jones used to say, I'm the most beautiful human being on the earth. My papa loves me, and I'm the apple of his eye. Until you can say that, not with pride, but with conviction, that you feel that secure in the love of God. I said it to you before, I will say it again. I was prophesying in Canada. This is, I promise, my last story. We're going to do some ministry. Prophesying in Canada last year, and I went there, had a bunch of my notes there, thinking, and I brought them with me. Some things I thought I didn't know what to share on. And I was praying in the hotel room in Calgary, and I was saying, Lord, Red Deer, actually. I was saying, Lord, what do you want me to share tonight? I was being spiritual. You've been really spiritual with God. You become friends with God. You become friends with God, and you're 40, 50, 60, you're friends with God, and then you got to act like you're in church with him. It's like, he's done with that. He wants to be your friend. He doesn't want to be your, you know, he doesn't want to be your counselor every day. It's like, my gosh, give him a break. So I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Always put the onus on him. What do you want me to do, Lord? What do you want me to say? Just tell me. I just want to do. Well, see, we think that's spiritual. And I got the lesson of my life. This was last year. I can go to heaven now because I've learned the lesson of my life. And this, really, it's took me all my life to learn this one lesson. And it's so simple, I could not believe it. And it so freed me, I could not believe it. And I said, God, all my life I've sought you. I prayed for hours. What do I preach? What do I say to the people of God? And the Lord, the presence of the Lord came in the room, and the Lord says, Larry, what would you like to preach? I said, excuse me? He said, Lord, Larry, what would you like? What's in your heart? I said, no. Lord, what's in your heart? He goes, no, what's in your heart? And I go, well, I have a couple things. And he says, good. I said, but Lord, what do you want me to say? He said, I want you to say what's in your heart. I said, but Lord, what is that about? He said, because we've been friends for a long time, and I know you, and I know your heart, and I trust your heart. Anything you choose to say, I'll back it up. I go, really? He goes, because I know you're not going to misrepresent me. I know you're going to, I know you're going to love people. I know you're going to say the truth. I know, he said, I thought, wow, what a compliment. I love your, I trust your heart. I mean, not the heart is deceitful and wicked, but that was for the unsaved. We should become perfect in Christ so God can, God needs to trust us. Friends trust friends. I went and preached that night a message that I thought, if I was God, would be good. It rocked that place. And the Lord goes, that's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I said if I'd have thought about it. No, he didn't say that, but he's just saying, when I went home, I felt the Lord said, good job, good choice. He said, good choice. What is it about us that act like we're mature but have to be told everything to to do? I tell you what it is. It's because our hearts are not in sync with God, and we don't know the body language of our friend or the body language of his body, what they need. I walk in a room, and I pick up on the spiritual body language in that room. I know what's needed. I have a sense because I've learned body language. I'm talking metaphorically. The body of Christ, I can feel where they're at, so I learn body language. So the Lord trusts that to some degree. Okay. So next week we're going to do Life Lessons of the Prophetic Part 2, and then Part 3, and then Part 4, as high as I can count. Till August is over, and we'll see where that goes. So we're going to do some ministry here tonight. I would like to do this real quickly. Who in this room today had a God experience where God used you to minister to someone outside the church that you've just been bursting at the seams with, that you would just like to come up here you wouldn't like to. I'm going to make you come up here and just share it. We'd like to hear a testimony. The power of the testimony is amazing. Anybody have something in their heart, something that happened to them today? it was a good day. I know it's difficult to ask Christians, was it a good day? Because it's usually not. Because we're in the fray of the battle. But it was a good day. Anybody? I'm giving you an opportunity. No. I'm telling you, if you feel, here's the way you know it's God. If your heart's racing, your hands are sweaty, and your wife is nudging you, you know it's God. That's God. It's got to be God. So if you have any one of those symptoms, you're supposed to come up here. Because we want to hear from you something. And if you don't, I'll just tell another story. I just had one day before yesterday in Restore, or last week, I mean. Okay, you're not going to do it. It's all right. Because I don't just do this in church. I walked up to the lady in Restore to buy something, and she was not in the best mood. And I wanted to do it a certain way, and she would put her foot down, and everything in me as human started to go, hey, I know I'm out of money here. You know, woman? And I started to do that, and I felt the Spirit of God. I said, no, she's something's going on with her life, her heart. You need to be nice. Not that I'm nice, but I mean, you need to be nice. You need to be kind. That's why I said kind. And I said, you know what, dear? You do it that way, I am great. I'm just so blessed to get what I'm getting. This is great. That's really good. She kind of looked at me, and she said, well, I can't do that. And she said, if you don't do it, but this and this and this. And I said, well, I can't. She said, well, you have to. You can't. I said, okay, then I'll adjust my schedule to do that. And she goes, really? I said, yeah. So she does it. I tell she likes me. I'm leaving the store. This was just last week. She starts walking beside me as I'm walking out the door. She said, hey. I said, what? She said, I stopped. She said, you ever had a day where you just got your, she was not a Christian, rear kicked? Like in the morning? I said, yeah. She said, you ever had a day where you just got your rear kicked and somebody like you comes in and it just so changes your day that you forget about the bad day you had in the morning? I said, yeah. And she just looked at me. That's all we did. I said, good. And I walked out. She was all happy. That's the power of the prophetic in the marketplace. I didn't say God. I didn't say Jesus. I didn't say, I just was kind to her. And I did it her way because it wouldn't cost me to do it my way. It didn't matter. It cost me $25, actually. So what? I'm taking an offering for that tomorrow. Anybody? Honey, you... Is Steve here? Because I called you honey twice. Because I may get a drumstick upside my head. He's the drummer. And my wife, okay. No, nobody, no takers for that. Come on. Young, old, doesn't matter what. Yeah, come on up here. Get this man a microphone. Did I meet you in California somewhere? You look like you could have come from there.
Hi, I deliver propane gas in a bobtail here in Williamson County, and I was at TA Truck Stop, and their tanks were down below the hill, and I got done, I got back up, and there was a black gentleman walking to his truck over in the parking lot, and I just heard the Lord say, I want you to go over and talk to him and tell him that my brother means something to him. I'm like, man, I thought, I don't know about that. And so I went ahead and made my ticket out, and I thought, well, if he's still over there when I'm done, then I'll do it. So I made the ticket out, I looked up, and he was gone. So I was like, shoo, that's good. That was just me in my head. So anyway, I have to drive around to TA. I have to drive around to the main part and then go get my ticket signed from them. So I went on over there and went in and did that. And I come back out, and sure enough, there he was standing by my truck with a coffee in his hand. So I was like, oh, great. So I went over to him, and I said, I just introduced myself to him, and I said, I just heard in my heart that the word my brother means something to you. And then all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord just started putting some other things on me to say to him. And so he just started tearing up. He gave me a big hug, and he said, this is a confirmation to me. He said, I just started a church in Spring Hill. About wow. The theme is my brother and bringing everybody together. And so anyway, it was a confirmation to me, too, just because wow. I almost passed that up, and I thanked Jesus afterwards and just encouraged. It was encouraging.
Oh, great. What's your name? Your name?
My name's Mike.
Huh?
Mike.
Mike? Oh, we all knew that. So, Mike, just confirming you have that. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to just do a few little bit prophetic, then we're going to have prophetic, some teams come up here for do some prophetic words. I don't know how to do all that stuff. Just whatever you do, just do it. You know, it's like, I don't know the formula on that. But here's what I call in the now prophetic. When I was younger, I got everything pre-FedEx from heaven, dreams, words. But after a while, the Lord said, now, if a man prophesies, let him do it according to the measure of faith that he has. The older you get, the more you do it, you have to do it by measure of faith. And 95% of the time, I have no idea what I'm going to do to the moment, but it comes in the moment. So I'm going to walk into the moment. It's called in the moment prophetic. There's also something called proximity prophetic, meaning when you get out and get close to people, I feel things. And there's also peripheral prophetic. When I get out, I can feel things from my right and my left. And that's just kind of a part of my prophetic. Doesn't mean you have to be that way. So I know what to do. That large conferences, I'm used to standing on the stage and pointing at people we can't even see. And that's actually easier for me. I just really sail there than it is in a small setting like this. So I have to do into geographical. Proximity prophetic. I don't know why. That's just what I've done all my life. My faith is out there. But because I know a lot of you in the room. Yeah. That sounds like I have a word for my wife, but she's not here. Oh, I remember the word, woman. Yeah. Where are you? She's back with the kids, actually. She goes and checks. She's so faithful to check on them. I want to say something to you here. You? Yeah, just do you mind standing up something? Here's what I want to walk into. I want to walk into this. I want to walk into a healing anointing that's resting over you because you've been having something's going on in your knees, your legs, your wrists, your arms, and this arthritic thing that's happening to you. I don't know you. I don't think I've ever met you. But as I said I'm going to do this, this is the way it works for me. This is where my faith is at. As I work and I walk up to say, I'm going to say this to you, I had no idea what I was going to say to you. That's just the way it works for me. But once that's the way it works for me because There's nothing more activating than faith. Most people never do something because they're waiting for pre-instructions instead of letting love lead them. But the reason I picked you is this way it works. I look and I felt this Father's love for you. That's just a big green light for me. That means I'll tell you everything that he knows because he'll eventually tell me. And so I felt this Father's love for you. But I felt, and instantly I knew that you had I don't know if it's arthritis or lupus, whatever's going on, but your wrist, your hands, your knees, your leg, and there's this freeze-up that's going on in your body and that has to be an immune system attack. And I felt the Lord saying as your Father that he loves you incredibly and the comfort from that you're looking for is going to come from the hand of the Heavenly Father. And as he reached out his hand and touched people that were sick and that were bound in his day, I saw the same as I'm talking. I see the same thing, the Lord reaching down and touching all the way, and your back as well. It's all into the back part of your spine, back into this, nearly to the waistline, down. Don't know the medical term for that, but the Lord is doing this touch. Healing, release, leaking the compassion of God upon your life and the blessing of God upon you. So, Lord, we bless this woman. I thank you for the Spirit of God that rests upon her and the Spirit of anointing. Oh, my gosh. And your dad was taken away from you. And I don't understand that, but your heart from your heart. So your heart was disconnected and your heart has been crying for a long time for a kind of connection that has to do with that kind of family. And the Lord has, I feel to instruct you that he should have a father. He is the Father of lights. He is the Father of your heart. He's the Father of your life. And he loves you. Oh, my gosh. And you have thyroid levels that are wacky too. So God is going to love you and is loving you and to healing like you would not believe because he is your Heavenly Father. Natural fathers are wonderful, but Heavenly Father preempts natural fathers. He's natural and heavenly, so he's all in all. So I just saw that, and I want to tell you what, rest in the love of God. They're just crazy guy, you came here tonight, whatever, and they're saying this. I'm saying it because love never fails or love never misses it. I feel the love of God for you from the Lord, and that's all I need, and that's all you need to know, that God is saying in this room, I would have created this whole service and brought everybody here just for you. Can you hug me? Come on. Yes. Oh, boy.
Yeah. One of my gifts is hugs.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Judy Ann is my sister. Now, you remind me of my sister, my next to me sister. Well, thank you, Lord. And where's that Laura at again? Now, I just want to know, if she wanted to minister with me, fine. She does so great, but she always is raptured every time we get to this place. Some people try to do the gift. She truly runs from it all the time. And she's so good at God speaking to her heart and blessing her. Yeah. And so, sister or sister-in-law that was singing here, Tammy, is that you? That's you. But who are you? Tracy, of course. Of course I do. Okay. I just saw something very simple. You don't have to stand. You can sit if you want. Or you can stand. Why don't you stand? Because we love embarrassing people. There's something just when I walk in and sat down tonight, you were singing there. I just had this, again, I got into your proximity and I had just small, this is small sense, but I know it was God. Small things are big things in the kingdom of God. And I want to say too, it's going to sound like a cliche, but it's the word of the Lord. This is your year of breakthrough. This year is your year of breakthrough. You already sense it. You already know it. You know it's coming to you. This is your year of breakthrough. And on you, I saw chains are being broken. There were two chains. One had one arm and one had the other arm. And I saw like Paul when he was in the prison in the chains in Silas, and the earthquake came and it shook and their chains fell from them. And I saw this chain falling from your left arm and a chain falling from your right arm. And I don't know what those were, but some of them had to link. One of them, I knew this, one of them had to link to undelivered expectations. That was one of them. And expectations that were not fulfilled. So hope deferred makes the hand sick or the heart sick. And I know that was one. I didn't know what the other one was, and neither do I need to know. But I just want to say to you, this is your breakthrough moment. This is your breakthrough week. This is your breakthrough place. And I saw you getting through several years of molasses. I'm just using metaphors where you're pushing through, and it's like, am I going to get through? And what I saw that you couldn't see is the membrane is right in front of you at the end of it. It's like when you break through that, it's gone. And so everything that's been in front of you is going to be behind you when this year's over. Everything that has resisted you is going to become the push behind you. Everything that has led is going to follow. Everything that has been the tail in your life is going to be the head in your life. Everything that has been low, God's going to bring up high. Everything that has dropped, God's going to pick up again. Everything that has been forgotten, God's going to remind you of again. This is your year of Rachel, where it says, and God heard Rachel's cry, and he heard her heart because there was a barrenness in her soul. With her, it was physical barrenness, but with you, there was something else. Barrenness is life and God, things God's promised you. But there's a Rachel cry that's come out of you, and God has heard your soul. And the most beautiful scripture in the Bible is that God remembered Rachel. And that's all I want to say to you tonight. You think, like, how could I be important? There's so many people more important. You're very important to God. And he's so important that he's sitting in heaven musing and going, I remember her. I never forgot her. Matter of fact, I'm just busy and I haven't gotten around to some things. But he's about to. This is his year to get around to some. This is your year. This is your assignment. It's like I saw him writing in the book the appointment with you. So there's an appointment coming to you because you've been waking up at night anyway, and you've been waking up at night thinking, you're going to wake up one night pretty soon, and when you wake up, it's not going to be what's going on. It's going to be the Lord in the room going, I love you with an everlasting love, and this season is over because he's the God of new seasons. So the scripture I want to give you, that is your scripture that's over your forehead, all things have passed away, all things have become new. And behold, Isaiah 41:10, I shall do a new thing, and suddenly, this year, suddenly it shall spring forth. So the suddenly of God is pursuing you and is going to overtake you, and it's going to be a year of rejoicing, and that by the end of the year it's going to be a year of great rejoicing. This Christmas is going to be a great Christmas. It's going to be better than the last three or four. It's going to be like a really exceptional Christmas. It's God's approval and stamp on you and upon this year, that 2018 was your year to move through the resistance and some of the pushback and backwash in the spirit in your life. So, Lord, I bless Tracy. I bless your spirit of God upon her. I thank you for the anointing of God that rests upon her. In Jesus' name, vocation, monies, what is that? Increase, levels? I don't know, with you and your family. But there's something increasing. God wants to increase that as well. Property, home, I don't know. There's some things that has to do with things that you own and belong to. And I just would say upgrade, 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 upgrade. God's upgrading you and your family in every way. So, Lord, we bless them, and we thank you for the Spirit of God that rests upon her in Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Five? What is five? You have five dogs? You have five cats? What's five? Anything? Nothing? Okay. You have a family. You and him are together, right? Are you know this guy or no? Yeah. But with you? Oh, that's right. I knew. But see, I knew that in the natural, but that doesn't mean I'd thought that. But you do, because I just said that. So you're one of five kids. Of your family. Okay. So, Father, bless her in Jesus' name. I want everybody to say to Tracy, your future began today. Your future began today. Say it again. Your future began today. And I want to tell you something else, Tracy. I don't know what's going on with this, but there's something that's bothering you, worrying you. And I don't know if it's about a health issue. I don't know what, something bothering you. That is a false report. That is not right. And that is, and you need it's a redo, and God is not going to, whatever it is, something that's nagging, something's going on with you. They say, is that a false signal. And remember what the scripture says, behold, I shall satisfy you with long life, and I shall cause the healing of God to abound to you, and the whole tiredness and the whole kind of sense of low energy and anemia energy and all that is going to wash away, and you're going to see the hand of the Lord with a new diagnosis. There's a new diagnosis happening in your life, and it's exciting and it's powerful and it's fresh. So Lord, we bless Tracy in Jesus' name, and we thank you for the Spirit of God. The month of May, Tracy, what is that? I don't know. Anyway, month of May. But look out. What is this? Where are we at now? What's our month? August? That's a ways around, but still, that's pretty close. But the month of May, something stationary, something pivotal about the month of May. I don't know what it is, but it's last year and the year coming. So we bless Tracy in Jesus' name. We thank you for the hand of the Lord that's upon her. Say something to her again, like, the best is yet to come. That's what we want to say. Say it again. The best is yet to come. Wow. I like that. Oh, my. Okay, this is the hard part, because you're looking at me like I'm supposed to do something, and you're putting pressure on me like I am, which makes me do something. And that's all right. That's what I do for a living. So, something. So here's what I do. You look at me and give me your best pick-me look. And if you're not smiling, that was funny, too. But anyway. So give me a good pick-me look, and I like that when someone goes, hey, you? That's a pick-me look when you just put her hand up and say, I'm taking it. Stand up then. Stand up. Wow. Yeah. Well, it looks like I'm waiting for something, and you're prophetic. I am. So I'm going to walk over here closer to you. Thank you, Father. There it is. Your year of transition, your year of transition. Things are moving around you. Scenery's moving around you. Figures are moving around you. Numbers are moving around you. Things are moving around you. In a sense, spirit things are moving around you. Things that were planned are looking unplanned because there's a change in the orders that are coming your way, because it's a time of readjustment. It's a time of recalibration. It's a time of adjustment. And God is about doing something wonderfully adjusting in your life. And it is not the devil. It is not people. It is not circumstances. It is the Lord. And that is amazing. I stepped right into the word of the Lord right here. I love that. And I want to say to you, and the stuff that's come at you and what's happened to you is what happened to Joseph. And he said to his brothers, that you might have meant it, or circumstances meant it for evil, you meant it for evil, but God turned it for my good. So everything that has come against and everything that has been hard has been the underpinning for a launching pad for something God is about to bring you to that is incredibly a part of your desire and your heart and the destiny God has put you on your plate. You could have taken her prophecy, because this is your year too. This is your year of doing it. This is your year of transition. This is your year of moving up the hill, in a way that you haven't before. This is your year of breakthrough. Break free, break, no more breakdown, no more discontented people around you thinking, why, what's happening, what's going on. Doesn't matter, God's going on. That's what's going on. Up and away. Yeah, up and away. So, Lord, we bless her, and we bless your anointing upon her, and we thank you for the Spirit of God that rests upon her and for the hand of the Lord that is upon her. Oh, so listen, somewhere in your life, you know why God has a special thing? He's doing something special with you in your life. Once, for sure, maybe twice, the enemy tried to take your life from you. And there was an assault against you at birth, and there was assault against you and later in your life where the enemy tried to come out, and you're shaking your head yes, because love always tells the truth. And you can't, yeah, love. And I know that's true, and I know that you know that's true, but here's the bottom line. The bottom line is, in two shots, he was not able to accomplish it. God's not going to give him three chances. It is done. It's over. It is no longer going to be that. You're not a target anymore. You are not the end result of the enemy trying to run at you anymore. He's put a wall around you. He's put a wall of defense around you and his hand upon you and his hand around you in a really interesting way. So, Lord, we bless her and we thank you for your anointing upon her life in Jesus' name. Now, I'm going to say something. This is called just reaching, but anybody in your circle, family, Robert, anybody, any Robertson, who's Robert? Nothing? You're going to meet one. No Robert. Just think real quickly. Nobody in your family tree, nobody in your family. Who? What is it? Okay, that's all right. If it's not, I could have just missed that one. You know, I doubt it, but I could have. Because people go home all the time and tell me, come on, oh my God, I remember a work, whatever it was. But anyway, but look out for special connections and assignments that God will bring to your life and people that God are bringing to you and connecting you to in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a sister. I have a sister named Kathy that looks like you. I love that. And it's like I'm talking to my sister Kathy. But so, Lord, we bless her. And for the CD, what's your name so we can have it so we know which one? I think.
My name is Benita.
Benita for Benita. Lord, bless her in Jesus' name. So one, two. I got somebody here, right? I got somebody here. Oh, yeah. The rejection site. Yeah, I knew it was there. Yeah. Oh, my. Come on, give me that smart light. Honestly, a good teaching moment for me. You know what this is called? Being confident enough to stall. We think we got to make God, like he's on demand all the time. You got to learn to flow with the Spirit. Sometimes the Spirit goes, I'm taking a recess. You have to wait. And if you leave quick, you miss the end of the recess. Wow. Yeah. So the lady on the end with a white blouse on, sitting beside you, right here. Yeah, back there, right in front of Fritz. Yeah, I got something to say to you. And when I looked and saw you said this, hey, there's a song called All Your Dreams Are Gonna Come True. All your dreams have been dashed in a lot of areas, and your dreams have been unfulfilled in some areas. And the enemy would like to have brought disheartenedness, and sadness to you for there, because some things that have come at you that would have made you sad, would have made anybody sad. So the thorns and thistles and the proddings and the hardships and things that have come at you to destroy your hope and what God has called you and what God has given to you. People have caused it to happen to you. The enemy has caused it to happen to you. But this is your time for blossoming. This is your time for God to renew something in you. This is your time for God to reach inside to that wonderful little girl in you that used to dance and that little girl that used to just joy before the Lord and that has gotten serious about some things. Nothing wrong with serious, but gotten over serious about some things. And I saw the Lord reaching down again and grabbing the hand of that little girl and pulling her up in you to a place where you say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And the joy of the Lord is so my strength that my spirit is dancing before the Lord like Mary did when she said, let it be unto me according to your will, O God. And she danced before the Lord and she worshiped and praised God. This is a new day. I don't have to say it, but I feel, when I look at you, I feel hope just go like this. Hope just coming up out of me like hope for the future. Hope for what's going on. Listen, I want to tell you something. It ain't over till it's over. It is not over. Your dreams are not over. Your dreams are being revived. Your dreams are being regenerated. Your dreams are being reutilized and recalibrated. Your dreams are coming true. Your dreams are coming true because God is a fulfiller of Josephs and Josephines who dream dreams that are given by God. It's been a long time. but the reward is going to be bigger than the length of the time. So I want you to be rejoiced. I would not leave here tonight without saying to you, I would be so sappy. I would be so sad if you walked away sad tonight. I would be so sad if I didn't encourage you and say, you're amazing, you're beautiful, your spirit's beautiful, what God has called you to do is beautiful, your life is, you have no idea how God sees you. When I looked at you, I saw how God said, it's like the beauty, it was like a flower in his garden that he touches every day, and you can't feel it. Be more sensitive to the beauty of what God has called you to and what God has made you. You are a cherished piece in his garden. And so, Lord, we bless this beautiful woman and her spirit, her beautiful spirit and her mind and her soul. And we thank you for the Spirit of God that rests upon her. And God, touch her inner ear as well. And go into, she has an inner ear thing going on. I don't know if it's dizzy. I don't know if it's hearing. I don't know. But there's something in her inner ear that's causing inner ear and imbalance. And they're shaking the head, yes. So that means yes. And so I just want us to say to her in one voice, healing for the inner ear, healing for the inner. Say it all. Say healing for the inner ear. Healing for the inner ear. Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And thank you for that in Jesus' name. Now, I know, Carolyn, you're here. I'm just saying, so I'm going to say the word, but I keep getting Carolyn. But I know this Carolyn. I know I'm not, but what's Carolyn? Who's Carolyn? Is that your name?
Carlin.
Huh? Carlin. I said Carolyn. For Wednesday, that's close. Because I'm standing in front of you. But anyway, that's all right. But you know what? Carlin. Not Carolyn, but Carlin. Interesting. My name is Lottery. Stand up. You mind? Huh? You're a warrior. You're a warrior. You've forgotten in some areas that you are. And you have gone to sleep sometimes with your sword down because the battle has been heavy and the battle has been hard. And there's been some betrayal. There's been some disconnect and some distance people have put from you, and there has been some delusion about what is going on with me. There's been some rearranging of things, and there's been a lot of movement, a lot of noise going on around you that people have caused and situations have caused. But what I want to say to you, Carolyn, that's Carolyn, is that God is quietening you down. And it's quietening the atmosphere down. The turbulence that's been around you is going away. And I hear the sound of stillness. And the scripture that I have for you is, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. So Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for this woman. We thank you for the Spirit of God that rests upon her. And the stillness of the Lord that is upon her in Jesus' name. I saw this real quick. I don't understand. I'm just going to say it. I just want to say it and see where it takes me somewhere. I don't know if it was a car or a person or a thing. I saw something push you, like in the back. I don't know what it was. I saw something push you, like in the back. I don't know if it was a car accident. I don't know if it's somebody pushed you. I don't know if you ran into something. I just know that there's been something, there's been movement against your body, that and against your soul. Against your, but there's movement that has caused things. Things have become like in the physically, a few things. Minorly dislocated, but spiritually and solely dislocated. There's been a pushing. There's been a shoving that's gone up that was instigated by the enemy that God is bringing stillness to and that God is embracing you. I saw the Lord embracing you like a medic or like a doctor or like a father would embrace a child that had been battered to some degree. And he's embracing you and he's holding you. And in that embrace is nothing but the love of God that brings divine strength and divine care. And I tell you what, my heart is about to explode. But what I feel the Lord has, the Lord's love for you, his heart for you is so big. It is so big. You are the apple of his eye. Right here in this room, right now, you're his favorite. Right now. He'll change his mind when we leave. But right now, because he's got to give us all some time. But right now, his eye is upon you. His heart is upon you. His love is upon you. And his spirit is upon you and in a great way. And so, God, what was your name?
Carly.
Whatever. So, Lord, we bless her. Just step out here two steps. Just step out here two steps. And I want people, anyone have a word? Anybody have something of encouragement for this beautiful lady that would like to just speak up and say it? You don't have to have a microphone. Just say it out loud. Maybe it's just one word. Oh, say it louder. He's closing up a chink in your armor. Is that what you said? I'm good. Yeah. Okay. Someone else. What was that?
No fear.
No fear. Someone else. Don't go anywhere. We're determined to embarrass you.
Overcomer.
What?
Overcomer.
I know who you are, Carolyn, Carlin. But Lord, we bless her in Jesus' name, and we thank you for that. And one more thing I want to say to you. Whatever it is that has been taken from you, God's going to give back to you. Not the same thing, but even better. He's going to give back to you 100-fold, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Whatever has been pulled from you, whatever has been divided from you, God's the God of addition. He's not the God of subtraction. Whatever subtracted from your life is going to be repaid, and with great joy, God is going to give back to you in the same mold, in the same way that it was taken from you. Rejoice. This is your payback time. Amen. Okay. What do we do? 9:03. What?
Close in prayer.
Is that what you want to do? Do you want to do some ministry team? Do we have people up here or no tonight? Or is it too late for that? I don't know. Who said no? You said no? Huh? Hey, I've been wanting to say something to you all now. I'm going to say it, then this is my last piece. You've laid down some things in your life that are giftings in your life and talents that God grew you up with. I knew I was going to say that. So you were sitting there, giving up some things, and it's all right because it's been talents, it's been giftings, some things. They're going to become hard to manage, hard, difficult. Circumstances won't allow it to happen. But God is the God of good giving. Is a God of good. You know what I'm talking about. And it's been hard. But God is going to reconnect you to the gifts and talents in your life. And not just those, but he's going to add to you even more. And you're going to be so multitasking, so spiritually ambidextrous, that you actually are doing a lot of things that you thought you couldn't do, just a few things. He's going to open up the threshold of doability in your life so that it's not going to be limited anymore because time has been a factor and time has kept you. He's going to give time. He's going to recreate time. He's going to push time away. He's going to cause time for you. This is your time. This is your time to reconnect with destiny. This is your time to reconnect with your gifting and with your talent. And all that he gave you is not to die. It is for safekeeping for him to build on in this life and the life to come. And I just want to say a simple word about this. But it's as God as it could ever be. What he's given you, he's not forgotten. He's given it to you. And the longer wine stays in the dark, the better it gets sometimes. Although we think, oh, we're hurting the wine. I'm not saying it's God's plan. I'm just saying, don't be disheartened. And the more or longer a money stays in a bank, it grows interest. So the gifts and talents that God's put in you, although they have been fought against, be advised that when God does start doing stuff, it's even going to be better than you thought in the first because he loves you amazingly, and you're an amazing gal. And so, Lord, we bless her, and we thank you for the Spirit of God that's on her. And everybody wants to say this to her. I want to say, too, God's going to return to you sevenfold. Say it again. God's going to return to you sevenfold. Yeah, you went through Psalms 23 last year. You went through Psalm 23, the valley. You went through some difficult times, and this year you had to hit difficult times again. You keep bumping your nose up against desert times and difficult times and times where like you're going to break through. But I'll tell you what, breakthrough, going through, walking through, getting through, that's your mantra. That's what God has given you as a song, has given you as a voice. You're a woman to go through stuff. You're a woman to get through stuff. You're a woman to break through stuff. And this stuff that has come against you, and now I'm getting mad. It's making me mad. It is planned to slow who you are down. You're a daughter of Israel. You're a daughter of the Lord. And God is calling a war on the things that have warred on you. And 1,000 is going to put 10,000 to flight in your life because he's going to give his angels charge over you, and they're going to bear you up in their hands when you possibly dash your foot against the stone. So Isaiah 41:10, I want to leave you. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I will help you. I will strengthen you. And I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for the Spirit of God that rests upon her. In Jesus' name. Wow. Okay, this is the end of it. Who's never, I just want to say the first hand that's never had a prophetic word in a public setting in their life? Who are you pointing at? You're the pointer. You pointed twice. I like you. You sure you're not? Ha! This man? Okay, here's what we're going to do. You don't have to go. Do you want to stand up? I'm sorry. I don't know anybody. No. See this man right here? See, he's never received a prophetic word. To me, that's just like I've never received encouragement. And it's, you know, that's what we're for. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to do it. Oh, that's right. And I want to take, where's my microphone runner? Need two runners up front right now. Where's my microphone runner? There you go. Tim, you'll be a good runner. Get it stirred up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. And no, I want you, so anybody that has a word for this man, prophetic words, got to be good, edification, exhortation, and comfort. If it's bad, we're going to kill you. So just find just something that's encouraging. Anybody raise your hand and this man, Donahue, will come with a microphone to you. That's dated, isn't it? They're so overwhelmed, they don't know what to say. Come on. Look at, oh no, you got to look at him. Don't look at me. Look at this man. Look at this man.
My name's Rita. And I just heard the Lord say to you to, there's something coming in your life and to don't discount yourself. You know exactly how to handle it. So don't let the doubt guy come in there and hit you as somebody we heard at a recent conference. Just ask God for the hit angel and he'll take the guy out. So, but I just see something coming your way. Just don't, you already know. So just take that confidence and go.
We're going to do three of them. One more. Who's the next one? Look at him. Please. Yes. Add it. You add it.
And I know you, so, but this kind of goes with what she said. When I first looked at you, I saw a water faucet, and the water was just dripping, and I felt like the Lord said he's about to turn on the water, and that the water is getting ready to come. And so what I saw was exactly pretty much what she said, that something is coming. So, yay God.
Yes, one more. That's a good word. Right here.
It's real simple. When I looked at you, it came to my spirit, the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Yeah. Okay. And before you sit down, I want to say this. When they were saying, one more? We got another one? Yes, please. Greg.
I actually know him as well. Woo, sorry.
No, go for it.
Every time I see you and T, I always think of joy, no matter what. And then when I was thinking about it, I was thinking in general, no matter what you're faced with, don't lose that. Don't lose that joy, because you'll be faced with trials. We always do in life, but don't lose joy. I always think of that when I see you, both of you, but specifically you. When I see you, I always think of the word joy.
Yeah. Wonderful. Let me tell you what God's going to do, and this is our end. It's 9/11. There you go. This is the end of what. But this is what God's going to do with you. This is in the physical. God is concerned about the physical. Something has. Over your lifetime or recently, I don't know how long, something has twisted in your muscles and your joints and your back, spine. I don't know. I don't mean it has to be bad, but there's something that has caused a leg. I bet a leg probably looks shorter than the other one because of muscle, you know, that sort of thing. So the short leg, that sort of thing. And this is your day. This is your day of healing. God's concerned about little things like that. And there's something about that, because in the priesthood, a straight back and a back and legs was a part, a sign of being able to be in the priesthood. It means your walk. It means God wants you to walk so you could carry the things of the Spirit and carry the utensils in the holy place, et cetera, et cetera. And do you know that, or is it just me? Do you know anything's going on with your legs, with your spine? Yeah, you do. Well, you got one leg that if you put them up, that's probably not even with the other because of some retracted muscles in your leg. Well, would you pull a chair out here because we won't take care of that? And just bring a chair. Do you mind sitting in a chair? Because it's something all my life God's just helped me with anointing for that I've hardly ever seen it fail. And that here's what I do. People say that God grows legs out. I don't know if I know that or not. Here's what I do know. That a lot of times things are out of place. The Spirit of God comes on and the Lord does things in our muscles and changes things and causes healing and resolve to come that way. I'm not one guy that says, I have seen where people's legs have literally grown out. I laid hands on a lady once that was, she was 6 foot tall and she had a short leg. And I started laying hands on her and she said, do not grow that leg out, shorten the other one. And we did, and literally, she lost an inch and a half off the other leg. Weird. So anyway, so just back, yeah, here. Here's what I want. What we do is I want a couple of the kids, any of the kids, I want you, come on the kids, any of the kids to come up here and gather around too. Just kids. I want the kids, like 12 and under. Where any kids? Get up here. Get up. Come on, just three or four of them. Because I want them to see this. So, yeah, come on, sweetie. I know you're older than 12, but you'll do. You're spicy. You work. Okay. And can I turn the chair just around this way just a little bit? There you go. Now you can sit down. There you go. Sorry. There we go. And yeah, come on up. Keep coming. Oh. Yeah. And before I do, hey, the world's not big enough for you. The world is not big enough for you. In your lifetime, your feet will touch continents. Your feet will touch places that God has sent you. Your feet will touch grounds. And people say, blessed is the ground because of your feet, because you're the bearer of good news. There is a mother, priest, a spiritual anointing on your life that's going to mother nations, that's going to mother peoples, that's going to mother movements. And there is going to be a prophetic anointing and a healing anointing upon you that is going to be translated into different languages and different cultures. And when I'm not on this earth and some of us is already gone and you're a grown woman and older in years, you'll be the whisper on people's lips of someone that had came and brought great relief to them, because it is your time of appointment for God to use you as he used women in the Old Testament, as he used Sarah, as he used Esther, as he used Ruth, as he used Deborah, as he used women throughout the Old and the New Testament. His hand is upon you. And it was said that one man had daughters who did prophesy. Well, you are a daughter who not only prophesy, who has healing anointing and mothering anointing upon you. And in your lifetime, before you're a senior, you will have written books. You will have written down the things that God has done and the travels you have made and what you have done. And it will be said of you in your lifetime, she's a woman of adventure. Adventure is who she is. Adventurous. I never thought she seemed shy. She seemed like it wasn't happening. She seemed backward, but she is an adventurous woman and courageous. And I saw when you stood there, I only did this because I didn't pre-think it till I saw you stand there. I saw this crown on your head and it said courageous. It said courageous upon your head, courageous. And you're courageous and you're going to do courageous things for the Spirit of God. And you're going to take risk for the Spirit of God. And those risks are going to pay off. And it's not stupid risk, it's faith risk. It is risk by faith, because it is faith that works by love. And love is really not a risk. Love is an absolute conclusion. So, Lord, we bless her in Jesus' name, and I thank you for the unexpected word for this girl, but that's all right. And step out here. Come on, let's step out here. Step out here. And I want to anoint you as Samuel anointed David before the presence of the Lord, and when he came to his father's house, and David came in from the sheep. As you walked up here tonight without even thinking something like this would happen, it was nearly for a second like I was Samuel and David walked into the house. And I felt I had to, this female David, I had to lay hands on her. So Lord, somebody stand behind her, because the Spirit of the Lord is going to come upon her. Somebody, an adult, come back quickly and stand behind her, because the Spirit of the Lord is going to come strongly upon her. And Lord, don't touch her, but just stand behind her. So Lord, we bless her. We thank you for the Spirit of God and the Spirit of wisdom that's upon her, the Spirit of counsel, and the Spirit of David. David's name means compassionate one. And so we believe that the compassion of the Lord is upon her. And as I lay hands on her, like Samuel laid David on hands, David, it said the Spirit of God came up on him from that day forward. And the oil of the Spirit was upon his head and was upon his hands and was upon his feet. And he was anointed not once, but three times. David was anointed in the Old Testament to be what God had called him to be. And you, my dear, are a female David after God's own heart. And like the deer pants after the brook, your heart is, can, will pant after the living God. And there it comes. There's the Spirit of God. That's it. A little more. Just you feel that. You feel that warmth, that feeling of the Spirit of God upon you. Lord, we bless her and we thank you. Another wave. Let's just wait for it. It's like God is pouring vials, vessels of oil out upon your head from heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Let me see your hands. Keep your eyes open. Thank you, Lord. Lord, make these hands an extension of your heart. Make these hands an extension of your heart. Make her hands the most kindest hands of this generation. Make her hands to touch, to comfort, be kind, to embrace, to encourage, to hug, to hold, to do, to serve. Lord, let her hands be an extension of the kingdom of God. Lord, let her hands be your hands. As we lay hands upon her, we stir up this Davidic anointing. David said, he has taught my hands to war. Bless her in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't go anywhere, dear. Come here. So, are you back in your chair? Do you sit? Are you all the way back? I just want to check and just see. Who knows? Is it going to hurt you, me to pull your legs up? Okay. Now make sure they're straight. You see that? You guys see that? Okay. Here we go. Father, we thank you for the presence of the living God and for the Spirit. We speak to the back. We speak the name of Jesus as ointment poured forth. An alignment in this back in Jesus' name. Look at that. Do you see that? What was that like? A half an inch maybe? About a half. Can we do both of them? I'm kidding.
I'd like to be 6'4".
I'm kidding. But, okay, put them down again. Put them down again because I want to pull them out again. Because sometimes you have to. So that was like, do it again. And, okay, see, we're back at again. Look at it again. There, do you see that by itself? Like, goodness. Lord, we thank you again for realignment, readjustment in Jesus' name. Again, lay hands on him. Lay hands on his feet, son. Yes, just lay hands. Now, here's... Very gentle. Okay. Now, here's what I want you to do. You, my dear. Now, you. I want you, can you lay hands on him? You just put it on your shoulders. Thank you. And you, yes, all of you, the little kids, come and lay hands on him. Because there's something God wants to do to your hip area, your back area. And I just want you to pray. Just speak the name of Jesus. The scripture says it's like ointment poured forth. Speak the name of Jesus. Lord, we speak the name of Jesus. Lord, if you wouldn't listen to us, you would to a child. We thank you for the anointing of childhood here that's poured out upon this man of God. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And mainly I got here to say, this is your year of God uncluttering the path that's in front of you. whatever path you're going down, whatever decisions you have made, and whatever determinations that are before you, there's things that have cluttered the path and things that want to try to make it difficult what you have chosen. And the Lord says there's momentarily distractions, and those distractions will not keep you from the purpose that God had for you. So the scripture is, lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge God, and he will direct your paths. Lean not to the left, lean not to the right, and don't worry about the clutter that is in the path, sir, because the clutter is only a distraction that he would try to bring at you, because this is your finest moment, and this is something God has put on you and in you and around you for a long time, and is coming to fruition. And although it may seem a little clumsy and the road may seem a little unstable and things may seem like they're not sure, he's the God of all sure things, and he's the God that brings all things to its resolution. So look for a resolution, because God is the God of ending all obstacles, and he's the God of triumph, absolute triumph. And triumph in him is what we're called to be and to do, and that's who you are, sir. And I bless you and I anoint you for that in Jesus' name. And I believe by the end of this year, you will have crossed a threshold of difficulty and of turbulence and a pushback from the enemy, and you will sail like you have never sailed before and fly like you've never flown before. God is putting wind under your wings. He's causing you to break through the gravitational pull of drag and that has been on your spiritual wings, and you're going to mount, you're going to come up, you're going to fly, and you're going to level out, and you're going to accomplish everything that God has told you to. I prophesy that over you. As gold, this is a weird, but as gold has reached great value in the last 10 or 15 years, there's something about all that, and there's something about you reaching great value. As gold was devalued and then became of great value, God's doing things of value in your life that have been devalued. So get ready for the gold of God to begin to manifest in your life, and the value begin to raise in your life, and the worth of who God has called and what God has called you to be to increase in monetary value and in spiritual value and all other values. This is your time of increase. So Lord, we bless him and we bless the increase in his life. This is your year, sir, of increase, great increase. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, go for it.
I hear the story of Balaam and Balak. Are you familiar with that at all? They wanted to judge, or they wanted to curse Israel. And the prophet said, I cannot curse them, for the shout of the king is in their midst. And I saw over you, sir, I do not know you, but I saw that God was stirring inside of you an aggression, a tenacity to accomplish something in the spirit. I saw the shout of the king beginning to just rumble inside of you. And as you begin to see in the spirit, and as you begin to see the direction that he is taking you, and as he is leading you, that rumble begins to arise, and out of your mouth comes a shout so full of power that it accomplishes the will and accomplishes the purpose. And so I just speak over you tonight that aggression to begin to be awakened inside of you, where no longer do I accept things as they are, but I accept them based on what I see taking place in heaven. And so I call that tenacious, aggressive shout to come from your lips and to begin to establish the kingdom, heaven, upon the earth. I feel the heart of God for this man.
Yeah.
And I want to encourage you tonight that God is not done. That there is something that is in fact just beginning inside of you.
Yeah.
And not that anything was wasted in the past. God never wastes. All of your years of being brought up and coming into faith. But there is a power moment that is coming for you very soon where that shout will be released. And when you see that come out of you, you will watch atmospheres change. You will watch business structuring that needed shifted will come from that shout that God has given inside of you. And so we call for that tonight in Jesus' name. And we release it and we agree with what God is doing in your life to release the power of God through the shout of the king in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
So this is a year of turnaround. That's it. Year of turnaround. Recovery and turnaround. And you're released. That's while you're walking away. That's the word that God said to David. He said to you. David said, "Shall I go and pursue?" And the Lord says, "Get up, go pursue, overtake, and recover everything. This is your year for that." You're dismissed. Come back. Say hello to someone. Yeah, I need that.